A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's Epiphany Sunday, and our only annual chance to sing that great Epiphany carol. "I saw you swaying as you went, oh, oh." "We Three Kings of Orient Are" is one of my favorite seasonal songs. And so if you found singing all of the verses to all of those stanzas just a little bit tedious, I'm the one to blame. But how about Bradley Resnicek's playing? Now, if you think singing that song is long, wait till you hear this sermon. Just kidding. Just imagine what it was like for these three kings of Orient to have lived it. Never mind, of course, that the Bible never actually says that they were from the Orient or that they were kings, or that they were even three. It says rather that they were from the east and that they were magi, modern astronomers or astrologers, and that they brought with them three gifts: gold, frankincense, and Bradley plays it so well, the myrrh. So these magi actually could have been two, or they could have been four, or they could have been many, many more. And there is some speculation that the magi were not all men. Some say that there must have been at least one woman in that westward leading, long proceeding caravan, because when the star that they were following suddenly disappeared in the sky and they realized that they were lost, someone among them had the good sense to stop and ask for directions. There's a pretty good chance that was a woman. 2 weeks ago, during one of the longest nights of the year, I talked in our service of hope about these magi having lost sight of their light. Some logical deduction is necessary for us to know that. But the Bible says that after the Magi stopped in Jerusalem, the light appeared to them again in the sky overtop Bethlehem. And the fact that the star reappeared means first, by logic, that it disappeared. Why it did so, we do not really know. My guess is that it was because the Magi were moving towards Jerusalem and would soon speak with Herod and his scholars. So then the star had to hide itself in the night, lest the bright and morning orb be betrayed by its own light. In any case, there is literal foreshadowing here in these early pages of Matthew. For later in the book, just before his arrest, Jesus is in Jerusalem speaking prophetically of the sun growing dark and the moon ceasing to shine and the stars falling from the skies. And just after that, on the day of his crucifixion, we are told that darkness fell over the earth for 3 whole hours. The day turned black as night. And in the words of the old African-American spiritual, the sun refused to shine. There are days so dark that they capture all the light. And there are nights so deep and so dense when nothing, not even a star, is bright. Astronomers speak of black holes, and we know that is what fell over Bethlehem when Herod killed all those babies. It was a deep and dense black darkness in which no light could be seen and no light was thought to be able to escape. And yet, Matthew tells us that the star, which had suddenly disappeared, now just as suddenly reappeared, just after the Magi had met that great black hole named Herod and made then their fateful decision to keep walking in and through the darkness in search of the light. And by faith, in hope of sight. And the prophet Isaiah says, the people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those in the land of deep, deep darkness, a light has dawned. We are observing Epiphany Sunday this morning. But January 6th, this Tuesday, is the actual Epiphany, and that means today is technically the second Sunday of Christmas. On Christmas 2, the church traditionally reads from the Gospel of John, which is known as the Gospel of Light. John says in his gospel that those who live in darkness hate the light, and they try to destroy the light. Yet those who live in the light walk in the light, he says, even when they walk in the darkness. The Magi kept on walking. They kept on believing. They kept on hoping. They kept their courage and they kept their light, even in the face of deep, deep darkness. They kept tight their faith in the light. And John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In 2026, we know that the darkness is already deep, and it could get even deeper. But we in this Western caravan hold tight to our faith in the eternal promise of goodness and of light. We too, like the Magi, believe and walk by hope and by faith, even when it is not by sight. Recently, I read the amazing autobiography of blind French resistance fighter and Holocaust survivor Jacques Le Sérurien, whose memoir is titled, And There Was Light. Le Sérurien says he had learned to see objects by a light that had nothing to do with his eyes. He says he taught himself to trust this light so much that he says he could confound friends by describing the shape and the size of things he did not see. He said he could sense the size and the weight of trees by the feel of their shadows on his body. This sixth sense allowed him to maneuver Paris freely during occupation, planning and passing along messages for the resistance completely unsuspected by the Nazis. When Le Sérurien was finally betrayed by a collaborator in 1944, he saw how his inner light could be extinguished. He says that when he became angry or frightened, he began running into things and knocking into walls and tripping over objects. But then he says, when he let go his fear and his anger, he regained his light, learning to overcome the darkness outside of him with the light inside of him. Syrian concludes his memoir by sharing what he called two great truths. The first of these, he says, is that joy does not come from the outside. For whatever happens to us, it is within. And the second truth, that light does not come to us from out, for light is in us, even when we have no eyes. And somewhere in the caves of Cologne, Germany, where Jews were hidden from the Nazis during the Holocaust, it was written on a wall, "I believe in the sun, though it be dark. I believe in God, though he be silent. I believe in love, though it be unable to reveal itself." There is goodness out there, even when we don't always see it. And there is a sun, even when it refuses to shine. And there is light, even amidst all this present darkness, there is still light. We believe in it. And in 2026, we watch for it. And by faith, we keep on walking towards it. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding. Guide us by and to thy perfect light. Guide us through even our darkest night. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say,